Here are two stereotypes that are in the news from Europe almost daily these days. Germans save their money. Greeks spend what they don't have. Well, it's no surprise that Greeks object to being described this way. But if the stereotypes are true, let's just say they are, why would that be so? One researcher thinks that he has come up with an answer. It's in the language, he says, specifically in the way different languages convey the future. Languages deal with the future in a lot of ways, but according to this research, they follow two basic patterns with serious consequences for speakers in either camp. This is a story that pits the likes of German, Chinese, and Norwegian against Greek, Arabic, and English. Reporter Audrey Quinn explains.
Let's start out with a scene from the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. A young woman has just finished destroying all these men at a restaurant. She lets them know what to expect from her next. What she says literally translates to, "Tomorrow I uproot Wudong Mountain." Now, to my ears, that line sounds a little off. I would say, "Tomorrow I will uproot Wudong Mountain." English, like a lot of languages, requires us to say it differently when we talk about the future. Today I uproot the mountain. Tomorrow I will uproot the mountain. So what's it matter?
The critical distinction here is that in some languages, I'm kind of slightly nudged every time I speak to think about the future as something viscerally different than the present.
That's Keith Chen. He's an economist at Yale. Chen's interested in how people make economic decisions. Last year, he started wondering if people whose native languages make fewer distinctions between the future and the present, say Chinese speakers, whether those people
save more.
Save more? Chen figured that having a separate verb tense for your future self might make your future self a little harder to relate to.
I thought this struck me as a perfectly reasonable hypothesis, but as I talked with other people, they all thought I was completely crazy.
But Chen says bear with him. The flip side of this idea is that speakers who use the same verbs for the present and future might be a little better at thinking about the future, and maybe even better at saving for the future. Now, Chen had gotten into some pretty controversial territory. A lot of us might feel like the way we use words affects our thoughts. Like my friend from Montreal insists she thinks differently in French than English. But most linguists don't buy the whole language affects thought idea. So Chen's theory that our words for the future affect our future-oriented behavior seemed pretty ready to crash and burn. But he persisted. Chen divided up world languages by whether or not they distinguish much between present and future tense. He then compared speakers of those languages based on saving stats. And here's the crazy thing that might separate Chen from being just another languages thought guy stepping on linguists' toes.
What's amazing is that I find huge differences.
So for example, he found that people who speak languages requiring a separate future tense, English, Arabic, Greek, the Romance languages, statistically, they appeared 30% less likely to have saved money in any given year. And on average, by the time they reached retirement,
they have roughly 150,000 euros less accumulated.
That's 207,000 US dollars, provided the euro doesn't keep tanking. $207,000. That's a pretty steep cost for a separate tense. But linguist John McWhorter doubts tense really has that much to do with savings habits. He teaches at Columbia University and is author of a new book, What Language Is and What It Isn't and What It Could Be.
One of the main problems is that you can't know languages well when you analyze a whole bunch of them put together. It's unavoidable. You're going to make mistakes.
Mistakes like putting Russian in the wrong category. McWhorter says Chen did that. And if Chen put Russian in the wrong category, it's possible Chen miscategorized a number of languages, and that would really cancel out his finding that language affects how you think about money. Regardless, McWhorter admits Chen's study catches his interest.
If what we see is truly strong cross-linguistic correlation, if somebody really could prove it, if somebody really did it, I would find it very interesting. I would even be open to finding that my skepticism about the language's thought hypothesis was unfounded. That would be neat. The counter-expectational is one of the only things that makes life worth living. But I have not seen that so far with this kind of work.
Shen insists he did go into his research with a healthy amount of doubt about his words affect future behavior hypothesis. But still,
every data set and every statistical test I've been able to run in every region of the world, and for all of these different measures, savings behavior, health behavior, retirement assets, all seem to point in the same direction. In fact, I actually haven't been able to find a counterexample in the world yet.
No counterexamples yet. Though here's betting that more than a few linguists will take on that challenge when Chen officially publishes his paper in the next year. For The World, I'm Audrey Quinn.